Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. It is. We're stitching and chatting tonight. There will not be a thread talk with Kathy Ray because Kathy Ray is enjoying summer school with Jean Lee at the Attic. So,
and we're jealous.
Yes. Jealous. Yeah. So it's going to be a bitter stitch and chat. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about you, Kathy.
Yeah, because we can't be there and she can. So, yeah.
That's right.
It can be a lot of grousing and teeth gnashing and, yeah, just general complaining. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Whining. No, we won't do that. Of course not.
Yeah, an hour of whining.
Right. No, no one would listen. We would be, like, disgusted. We'd be like, let's go. This is, no. We're glad you're there, Kathy.
Yes.
Enjoy it.
Yes. I got to go. I was there 2 or 3 years ago. We were in Arizona in August. Don't ask. it was one of those where we could go for an extended period and, without a whole lot of obligation. So we seized it.
And you went in August.
Oh. We went in August. Like 100, 120 every day. Get up early if you want to do anything outside. We didn't care. We just wanted out of town. And but anyway, it turned out we were there for a weekend of summer school. And Jean invited me to come over. And so I got to go over and spend the better part of an afternoon one of the weekend days. I want to go. Oh. I can see why people fight to get into that thing because, that's a cool event. It really is.
It looks like it. I mean, going to Arizona in August just doesn't seem appealing, but the projects that she has, the classes she offers, it just looks like a lot of fun.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It was that couple, 3 hours I was there. That's all I needed. Yeah. I want to go sometime. And of course, you go in August and you just stay inside. And then in the evening it's, desert, it cools off pretty well. And, in the evenings or in the early mornings, you can be outside, but heat of the day in August? Oof, man.
It's like winter in Chicago.
Yeah.
You just stay in.
That's right, yep. We went out a couple of times in the middle of the day and just walking across the parking lot to do shopping. It's like, oh, man, the heat just coming off that tar. Get me out of here. Yeah.
Right.
But, yep, if you can ever get a chance to go to Phoenix in August for summer school, jump on it. Jump on it. You will not regret it. Yeah, that's fun.
One of these days, we
have done now in 3 weeks, 4 weeks' time, we've done 2 3-hour shows on a Friday. One was the World Embroidery Day, and then last Friday, World Cross Stitch Day.
That was so much fun.
Yeah. Really fun. Both of them.
Right. And talking to the designers last Friday and seeing what they, some sneak peeks. Well, I was kind of mad with Linda because she wasn't going to drop those strawberries. So everyone was wanting her to jiggle them just a little more so we could see them.
Yep.
Yeah. Those were very cool. So yep. If you didn't get to see that was a fun show that we did.
Yeah. Erica Michaels, Linda and Erica Michaels, what did she have? Eight? Was there eight new strawberries?
I think so.
At least eight. Yeah. Yeah. So that she's introducing at the end of the month. And Diane Grick. Oh, I am getting her hissed off chart. The Mad Cat. I am getting that for sure. Yeah.
Oh, and I like the Daily Grind one, the coffee one.
Yeah.
That I liked that one. That was so much fun. But the cat one, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why I've never done one of hers, but for me, she is so creative with the letters in the text that she puts in them. It's not like stitching a standard alphabet. I mean, you're actually, I really think she's brilliant at it. And
her for graphic work is beautiful, and that would be fun, as you said, if you know, to put it in an office.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
That would be great.
Yep.
And then the other thing I was thinking about is Angel, and how she's repurposing linen towels.
Yes.
And maybe want to go through. I know I have some because someone gave me the stash that was her mother's, and mine have, they're all calendars. And I just couldn't bring myself to just throw them away. And obviously my friend couldn't either. And I thought, oh, I wonder if Angel does custom work. You know, it might be just faster just to mail them to her and say, hey, make me a bag.
Yep. Yeah. Angel Guillory at The Elegant Thread. She doesn't get enough credit for her project bags, but then there's always accessories that go with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can even just buy a project bag. I think you have to get a scissor fob and a this and a that with it. Because everything she does is two or three or four elements, and
they look beautifully done. They just look gorgeous.
Well, they are. I mean, the one she made for me, I'm telling you, it's perfect. It's perfect. And it's so cool because she sent it and wow, I really think that's great. She said, well, it's men's suit material. Oh, Angel, way to go, you know, way to go. But that that linen towel that the ships won, you know, those old linen towels, what a brilliant idea. Yeah.
Yes. Because, you know, maybe your grandma had some or your mom and you're going through that stash. You don't want to just throw them away. They're beautiful. They've got beautiful images on them.
Yep.
And you're like, well, now what? What am I going to do with these?
Right. Well, and you don't want to throw those away because they'll last forever.
Right.
Yeah.
And it made me think, I do have something my grandmother was stitching and she never completed it. It was drawn thread work. And I thought, you know, what if I combined that, you know, made a project bag or send it to Angel and begged her to make a project bag. and use those, that bit of linen that was my grandmother's that she did the drawn thread on and drawn thread. And so I have that and I have it in a project bag and I can use it and see it instead of it just being pushed away somewhere where I don't get to see it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, might as well do something and use it.
Yep. Well, fire off a thing to Angel. See if she'll do it.
Yeah. Beggar. Yeah. Please.
Please. All right. Yeah. No, that was great. And then of course, Michelle May, Raspberry Rabbits, that quilt, that 365-day
hexi quilt with the wall.
Holy smokes!
Mm-hmm.
How cool was that?
I know, and to do something for each day.
Yeah.
Just do a little stitched, you know, something to remind her of that, what happened that day, for her, was it her 50th year?
Yeah, 50. Yeah, yeah.
And she just whipped them, stitched them together visibly. They look beautiful.
Yep.
It looks like a beautiful, what a beautiful memory.
Yep.
Little memory quilt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, because you know, your 50th year, yeah, and every day has meaning. It was just brilliant, mm-hmm. And it looks so neat. And just,
yeah.
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 And it didn't look to me like any one of them was a 4-hour ordeal to stitch. You just put down and create a little something, stitch it, connect it to the rest, and go. And you know, mm-hmm. some memory thing, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, excellent. It's just amazing, these designers and stuff they come up with. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Lou Who Stitches, Cindy.
Right.
It was nice to see her and her the piece. What was she? She was doing something for the Red Cross.
It's for the Red Cross Western Wildfire Fund is what it is, and I'll put a link in the notes for this thing. And so what she created was a piece that the words on it are, "There shall be showers of blessing," and you can buy the cross stitch piece from Cindy, and then that money goes to the Western Wildfire Fund.
which I thought was a great, great idea. Just a fabulous idea to help. And I'm sure they've been very devastated.
Right. Right. So I'll put links in, because that was, she just kind of, dropped that in. Like, is it okay if I mention this? Yeah, it's okay. Let's go. Help these people out, for crying out loud.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'll put links in the notes. Red Cross Western Wildfire Fund. I'm sure you can look that up and have no trouble contributing directly. But if you buy this chart from Cindy at Luhu Stitches, then all that money goes to it too. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's great when designers do that. You know, something, and it's local to her, and great. It's a great cause.
Yeah. Yeah, she lives in Northern California, so yeah. It's a really cool thing, and it kind of caught me off guard, because when they had all those wildfires in Australia, you know, there was all kinds of fundraising going on here in the States, and you know, we got them here in the States. Let's go, folks. Where's the fundraising? Of course, we could set something up too, but I mean, these people need help, and I'm sure resources are really getting low now, just in terms of things like water and, for the firefighters.
Because I don't know, are they calling other firefighters in from other states? Got all that going on too. So that takes money.
Yeah.
All of that. So yeah, and then the people that are displaced, for the Red Cross comes in and helps them, and that's
right.
Fabulous that they go in and do that. So
yep. You know,
anything we can do to support people in our own country. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because the fires aren't going out quickly, that's for sure. And then we know the aftermath, cleanup, and people have lost their homes, lost all their belongings. And then on top of it, you know the rains are going to come, and you know, we see it every year. Mudslides. So they need help out there. So this is one way to help. Red Cross Western Wildfire Fund. And Luhu Stitches, Cindy Young at Luhu Stitches, her chart is "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." You buy that, and that money goes to help the fund, the Red Cross Fund. And I'll put links in so you can do that. So a way to support. It is. Good one.
Yes. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
So you've got your own little stitching area.
Yes.
Is it, but it's also your work area.
Yes.
Do you find you're getting more stitching done or less done? Because you're working.
Not more. Not more.
not more, huh?
No. Well, and that's a combination of things. But you know, I think the question that's in your head is, on a normal work day, am I stopping and wheeling the chair around and stitching?
Yes.
No, I'm pretty disciplined. So if I'm working on magazine stuff, I tend to stick to it through the day. Now, it's been kind of crazy here just in the last couple of weeks. And because I think once things settle down into more of a routine, that I will find myself taking breaks. I mean, I intend to do this. I intend to take breaks, and I rarely take a lunch hour. I mean, I essentially never do. But I'm going to take a half hour in the middle of the day. And part of that is because it's right here. But the other part is I tend to sit in front of that screen all day long, and I need to discipline myself more. Like, I'll get up, go get a Diet Pepsi, do whatever, because you have to get away from that. But I need to discipline myself more to get away from that screen, and it's sitting right here in the room, and I need to take advantage of it, and I haven't so far. Yeah.
Right. It's just been too busy for you. I guess I wondered, because the other night I sat down to stitch. But where I stitch, I could see my kitchen, and I thought I could see the peaches that needed to be canned. And I thought, oh, I haven't gotten stuff prepped for canning tomorrow. So I couldn't sit still until I got up, got everything ready for the next day, and
yeah,
did all that. So for me, the work sometimes, even though I, you know, I've done all, you know, it's the evening and I'm ready to stop, if I see my work, then I think, oh, you know, I better go work. And that's why I was wondering whether you can sit and stitch at night even if you see your work there.
Oh, no, that doesn't bother me. No, I'm very good at separating the two. So, okay. No, if there's work to be done, I'm very good at, that's tomorrow. You know, if it's 7 o'clock at night, no, because we learned that lesson when we first started working at home. We finally had to have a sit down with each other, Margaret and me, and say, look, this has to stop. We have to have an end to the work day, and we cannot continue to keep talking about and doing work on weekends. Because mm-hmm. we were working 12 hours a day, essentially 7 days a week. And finally we just, we were at dinner. I remember it very clearly. And we both just looked at each other and it's like, this can't go on. We're going to burn ourselves out. And so then we started making a conscious effort. So yeah, it's not unusual for me to start at 8:30 in the morning and, you know, don't take a lunch. And so around 4 o'clock, 4:35, somewhere in there, I'll feel it. I'm out of steam. I can't edit another word. I'm done. And then that's it for the day. And I don't go back to it. It's not like I go back in the evening and work on it a little bit. No, I don't. And what's keeping me from a routine right now is the little projects around the house that I'm still trying to get done. And the list is getting shorter. So, I think, it'll settle down.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But no.
And it's better to get those things done, get those off your to-do list. And then you're like totally clear.
Right. Right. Well, that's just it. Because, for the projects, a lot of them, we've had to buy something. Uh-huh. So that's in the basement ready to be installed. Like for instance, we kind of got the short end of the stick. The people who sold us the house were supposed to have had the fire department come through because we're a townhouse, so we're one of four units in the building. And they were supposed to have the fire department come through and approve the house before they sold it for fire safety. They didn't. We got stuck with it. And it all checked out. But then one thing that came out is there's wired smoke detectors on all three levels that are more than 10 years old. Well, 10 years is the lifespan. So I need to put those in. And then the dominoes start to fall because the circuit breaker panel is not well labeled at all. So, all right, I got to put in new ones on each level. All right, well, if I'm going to do that and cut off the power, then Marg and I need to start testing everything and see and make a list of what the circuit breaker controls, because there have been a couple of things, I've just basically started on the upper left side with Marg in the room of interest and, yell when it goes off,
Yes. I remember that. I remember when my husband and my son labeled our electrical box. It was fun. It was fun. Yeah. So, and those are things that, you just need to do it,
right.
And there's just no way around them. They just need to be done. And And I was just wondering, because to me, and I wonder how other people do it too, since so many people are working from home, does the work distract them? Can they take a break and get some stitching time in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious, but you're disciplined.
No, I always have been, and to the point where I'm on the other side, where I have to make myself quit to do the other things. But these house things hang on. But a lot of people struggle with the work at home because they'll go sit and stitch for 3 or 4 hours, and then the work doesn't get done. Or they'll go cook or read a novel or something. And I know for a lot of people it's pretty tough. Never has been for me. No. For me, work at home is I'm much more productive. I get a lot more done in the same amount of time. No, it's the best thing in the world. But no, yeah. It's but it sits here. I mean, it's literally when I'm sitting at my desk, it's literally three and a half feet away from me. I just got to turn the chair around and roll it a couple feet, and there it is. Yep. So, and I'll get to that. I mean, I fully intend that I'm gonna have those moments during the day when I can stitch. I mean, that was part of the original plan of having this room set up the way it is just to be able to do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I'll get there.
Take a break. Yeah.
But you know, when I was sick, though, you know, those times that when I could have stitched, I just wanted to sleep. You know, I just went, you know, just, yeah, give me 15 minutes. So
yeah, I need a nap.
So yeah, it'll get there. And it, you know, that's when this room will really take off for me, is that kind of thing. So yeah. Yeah. Flip the TV on, watch 20 minutes of the movie, stitch, turn it off, go back to work. Yep. Yeah, that can work. But I am working, trying to work away on the Sarah Parr sampler. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it off by October, by the end of October, because I got a lot of time for framing. So
right. And I don't know how long framing. I mean, I haven't had anything framed in a long time.
Me neither. Yeah.
And so I wonder, how long does it take? I guess it depends on if you need a specialty frame, whether you're willing to stretch it out yourself, stretch it and lace it. I know a lot of my friends take their pieces, have the place they're going to get framed, have them cut the mat board. They stretch it, lace it, and then they wait for the frame to come in. But yeah, so I don't know what the lag is.
Yeah, I don't
framing
either.
Right now.
Yeah.
So
I've never laced one, so I don't know. Yeah. You know, have you laced something?
Yes, I have. I've only laced a couple of things, small things. And I had someone hold my hand when I did a big thing, if I remember correctly.
Oh,
I sat at a meeting and I was like, okay, I've got to lace this. And they're like, okay, Beth, just do it. just do it. They helped me with it. That's the nice thing about going to a local guild. There's somebody there generally who has done it before and will hold your hand while you do it. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never done it. And I'm certainly not going to do it with one of this size. You know, I would do it on a smaller one.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think the reason these people lace their own is the frame shots they go to, they do a good job, but they won't lace the piece for them.
Oh.
So to get the caliber of framing they want done, they need to lace it themselves.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, it must save quite a bit. I mean, that's a lot of labor.
So, okay, back to Sarah Parr. Are you breaking that down to small pieces? Have you kind of divided it up in your head? I need to get X amount done in a certain amount of time.
No, I'm just pounding away. I'm just pounding away.
Okay.
You know, row after row after row, I'm just making it go. I mean, there's a third of it. A third of it's done. So if I can get some good days in, I'll be able to make some serious progress. But you know, I say that, and then three other things come up. But
right.
Yeah. Well, it's like this past weekend, all right, Saturday, we'd been having a lot of trouble with the dryer, the clothes dryer,
mm-hmm.
not drying clothes. And Saturday, Marga had the dryer on. You know, I'm going to go check the vent, you know, because it's a long horizontal run after it goes up from the dryer. I'm going to check the vent. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. There was in the long horizontal run. There was, it was plugged. So my afternoon of stitching became clean out the dryer duct. You know, and then by that time I'm done with that, I got no more gas. I'm done.
Right.
So, and so that, you know, that sucked up that day. And then that put me behind on Sunday to get the podcast together. And then we're recording some shows this week to get that organized. So then Sunday, became, a good portion of that became getting ready for podcasts. So, the weekend where I had really targeted a lot of stitching just didn't materialize. It was like an hour Sunday night was it. And that stuff keeps happening. But, dryer duct's plugged. You got to get that open.
No, you can't just leave that.
No.
And I know this is, Gan Rogers has said to do this, and I just heard someone else mention it, doing just one length of thread.
Yes.
A day.
Yes.
And noticing the progress you make. Instead of trying to think, I've got to have an hour to sit down and work on this. But having your thread ready, doing one strand, I think you'd make headway.
Yeah.
Like that.
But, yeah. Well, and that's, well said. I should do that much. Because I have enough time that I can do that much on every day. And then there's going to be time where I can do more. But yeah, all right, I will do that. Cause it sits here and I'm either mid thread or I have a thread loaded. Cause whenever I get done with a session, I always load up the next thread and get it started so that I can just pick up and go. So, okay. All right. I'll put that on the agenda here. Cause I really need to, I need to get away from this computer monitor. So, all right. 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even, I timed myself one time. How long does it take me? It depends on the length of thread. But it is. It's like 5 minutes if you're doing a shorter length of silk, depending on what stitch you're doing. It is not going to take you that long. And just that little bit every day, it's amazing how much progress you get done.
Yeah. If I'd done 5 minutes today, I would have gotten more done today than I did all weekend. So there you go.
And it's just nice. It's fun to see progress on.
Yeah.
If you take a photo of it. No, if you take a, because sometimes you feel like I am not making any progress on this piece. But if you took a photo like on Sunday and then you compared it the following Sunday after, even if all you did was that 5 minutes every day, you'd be amazed by how much progress you made.
Now that's fun. That's fun. All right. Let me see if I can pull that off. Okay.
That's the beginning. Two photos. You don't have to do one every day.
Right.
You don't have to do one every day. That's too much. Yeah.
All right. This is the beginning of the week. Take a photo, and then in 7 days, we'll see how I'm doing. Okay. All right. Okay. You got me fired up now. All right.
Good.
We'll see how we do. Yeah. Yeah. The dryer duct will be plugged.
Or something.
That happens, and that happens to everybody. I mean, it's just life. But I was just gonna sit here. I actually had identified a couple movies, and I was just gonna sit here. I had nothing else I had to do. Stuff I could do but didn't have to do. And there is not any air coming out of this duct. And the next thing is a fire,
It's not like it can wait. No. Yeah.
And the thing is, we didn't think about it. The dryer was not working well. We didn't think about it. And I will say this in our defense, in our house in Illinois, we had a really long horizontal run, but we had a Chernlund is the company, TJERLUND or something like that. They make a dryer booster fan, and we had had that on. We put one on because of that long run years ago, and so you don't think about it because it works perfectly, and it senses the air pressure coming out of the dryer and matches that with its own fan. It's halfway through the trip to the outside, and then it accelerates and keeps that air moving outside to the outside like it should. So the clothes dry more efficiently and it's just better all the way around. And so we never, and as a result of that, you don't get lint buildup in the duct because it can't collect because it's getting shoved out the other
it's
end.
Going out the other end.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it just didn't occur to us. And then it was, why is this dryer taking so long and it gets so hot and the clothes are so hot? Oh yeah, that. Yeah, we don't have this thing on here. Yep. So, in my defense.
Your defense,
Yeah.
yeah, and that's the thing. There's always those little things that'll, you know, there's always something to do. There's
Yeah.
always those
Yeah.
things that'll nibble away at our time. And I think sometimes we have to give ourselves permission to say, I just 5 minutes. I just need 5 minutes to myself. And I remember when the kids were little, I'd say, okay, your dad's going to go read you a story. While he's reading you a story, I'm going to stitch for 5 minutes out in the living room. You're going to be in the bedroom,
Yep.
and then I'll come in and I'll do my story. So
There
I
we
can read
go.
them mom's story time. So, you know, it was just a length of thread, whatever, but it just kind of calmed me down enough. It's like, okay,
Yeah.
I'm ready to deal with little kids again,
Yep.
little munchkins.
'Cause that had to be hard as a mother, 'cause you to maintain any kind of stitching when you're raising kids, because at the end of the day, I got to believe a million of those days, you were just so gassed you didn't care to do anything.
Right.
And yeah.
You just like, okay, I just want to crawl into bed.
Right.
And but sometimes, you know, you if I found I would calm down if I did a length, I did something. I did
Oh.
a length of thread. And Max knew that, my husband knew that, and he was like, okay, go. I'm gonna read to the kids. You go take a few minutes. Even everything out, and then you can join us. And because I homeschooled my kids too, so I
Right.
was with them all the time.
I know, that's
And
what I mean. You had to be completely gassed at some point.
but I think it's the, you know, it's just taking that little bit of time yourself. It's not a huge amount of time. And now I do, I have more time because the kids are gone, and you know, I have that time to stitch. I don't have all the responsibilities.
Yeah.
But it's I can understand people that don't have the time or don't take the time because there's always something to do. You can always stay busy with something else.
Right,
But
right.
I find stitching kind of calms me down, grounds me, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
Gets me ready to go to sleep at night, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and there's a lot to be said for that right there. Calms you down so you go to sleep. So that you have more energy for the next day. I mean, that alone is
Right.
worth it. Yeah.
Right. And I think just taking that, and I always have something that if I'm very tired and I don't want to be working on something that requires a lot of counting or is very intense stitching, I always have something that's very simple that I can stitch on that I can just pick up, do 10 stitches, and I'm like, okay, I feel better. I can quit. I'm done for that. I can say I did something today. Move that project forward. So.
Yep. Well, there we go. Now, see, you got me thinking about all the things. Because now, for instance, today I rode was the first day in I don't know how many months I was able to do back-to-back bike rides. Because, I mean, I've just been, yeah, sick,
Right.
exhausted,
I'm sick and
weak, everything. So the first time I did back to back. Now there's no way I can do three in a row, because I need, my body needs the legs, everything needs to recover for a day. So and I always get up at 5. So instead of sitting and scrolling through social media stuff, then see what I should do in the morning is get up, check my email, and then sit and stitch.
Right.
And get an hour in before I have to get ready to do work. Yeah.
And I do give myself, and I didn't do this when the kids were little, but now that everyone's gone, I actually take time in the morning, especially in the summertime because I'm gardening and canning, and by the time it gets to the end of the day, a lot of times I'm too tired to do major stitching. But if there's something I'm trying to move forward, I set a timer or I have something playing that'll go for like 15 minutes and I stitch on that project for 15 minutes. And huge, I've been working on Anya's day and I am so close to a finish on that. It's amazing. I'm like, oh, I don't want to even, I'm at the point where I don't want to put it down
Yeah.
because it's so close to a finish.
Yeah. Well, see, and I, that's what I admire about you is you keep, whether it's a system or not, you are very good at keeping multiple projects moving forward, just based on your photo posts and communication that we have, you're very good at that. Because like Anya's day, we won't hear anything about it. Then all of a sudden it'll pop up and you're making progress again on that. And I really applaud that, because you keep multiple things going and you're not just monkeying around with them. You're making legitimate progress every time. And it's, that's a skill to have. I will say that. Yeah.
and I think it's because I remember, and it's Gayanne Rogers who said this. She said, keep like three projects going. One that's, your hard project that requires lots of thought that you maybe don't only work on when you have the mental capacity, and it can be whatever it is that requires your full attention. Have one of those. Have one that's kind of like a medium project that, doesn't require so much attention, but it's physically big, so you can't carry it with you. And then you have that one project that, just pick up, and no matter what, you can put 10 stitches in, half hour in, and it doesn't require any brain power.
Yeah.
And I do. I have those going at all time. And it varies on which project is that hardest project. Anya's day has been very easy. It's very repetitive. A lot of the motifs are repetitive. So although it's a large project, I can do it when I'm, except that it's got small count. So I can't do it if I'm extraordinarily tired. I've had to rip several times because of that.
Yeah.
But it's just nice to have, but I try not to have too many projects out, because then I become overwhelmed. So
you've taught yourself what the happy medium is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if it gets to be too many, then something goes to the basement. It just is like, okay, this is way too much out. It's got to go.
You literally just take it out of reach.
Right. Oh. So I don't look at it. I don't have to think, I should be working on that project. It's like, okay, when this big project gets done, I can pull another one out.
Okay. Because I keep them all here in the room.
See, that would drive me crazy.
Oh, okay.
Because I would be thinking, I'd want to I keep on thinking, I'm finishing up Royal Garden. It is so close to be done. I think I've got 12 of those Jean Hilton stitches to put in it. 12 of them. So, can you tell I counted those?
Yep.
And then, so when that's done, should I take out Dawn to Dusk?
Uh-huh.
Or should I take out the painted canvas?
Yeah.
Which I haven't put a stitch in yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Now or I could start a totally new one.
Oh, yeah, there's always that. But, yeah, that painted canvas. Now, I have played with that. I have used that as a, to me, it's all an experimental thing. But I have used that as exactly that. Let me just get this thing out, clamp it in, and play a little bit and see if I like what I think I'm going to like. And so that's been a real plus. Yeah, we need to do another show about that. I need to put some more stuff in. Yeah.
Yeah, and I need to put something in. And I think that's my – I'm thinking, maybe I'll pull that out and that'll be the next one. Because I want to put – some thread in that piece, because it's been there for too long. It just needs some stitching, and I know the first stitch I'll do, and I'll start there, and then I'll move out from there.
Okay.
And see where I'm gonna do those little red roads stitches.
Oh yes,
on the snake, and because I know what I'm gonna do. I put those in, and then maybe something else will fall into place for the snake, and I'll just keep moving on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's the crests of the birds and silk straw, which I've never stitched with. So it was initially just figuring out what it does and doesn't do, and being careful that it doesn't split. That wants to split, and I had to rip out a couple lengths because it split and it wasn't laying right, didn't look right, so I ripped them out. And so that was interesting experiment. And then I got one line of the crest done, and I thought it worked out okay. So
yeah, and I've only done it stitched with this silk straw, kind of like surface embroidery. So I purposely split it to make it just a little smaller to do, and I liked it. But you're making me wonder, you know, if you're doing a longer stitch, how to manipulate it better.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned to be careful, and I learned also, like basically with any ribbon type thread, is to make sure you don't twist it on the back side, because if you do, it really does not like that. So I had to be careful to make sure that back side doesn't get twisted, because yeah, it just wouldn't come up on, at least for me, it wouldn't come up on the front in good condition, and so I had to and monkey with that. So, but you know, that's to me, that's the fun, that's where the fun's at, learning that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I'm even thinking starting with the snake, I think I was going to use some panache in there. I've got to look and see what I pulled, because that's kind of that round, shiny. Mm-hmm. And I actually liked stitching with it. I didn't think I was going to like it as well as I did. But once I started playing with it, I was like, you know, I like how it looks. I've got to, you know, I had to hold it a certain way to get it for me to lay properly and keep the tension right. But I enjoyed it. I really did. And I thought, ooh, this might be good on the snake. Kind of shiny snake looking.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll have to pull that out. Get Royal Garden done and pull out the snake.
Yeah, that getting Royal Garden done, that's a huge accomplishment right there. That's a beast, yeah.
It's Bravo. Big. Yeah, it's big. But it's been fun. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah, and when you stitched on it, you motored right along. It's, You know, that was something that with Cindy Gershwin. Gershwin, not Gershwin, that's the piano player, Gershwin, that in when she was talking about judging and then came up several times talking about appraising was tension. And it really got me thinking, and I've thought several times about it since then. Obviously, from a judge perspective, tension is important. But, you know, after a while, is it a conscious thing? I'm not going to ask this right, but are you always conscious of it? Does it go to the back of your head so you don't have to think about it? Does it then come back to the foreground because you switched threads and you're using a different type and you got to do it different, or you went from needlepoint to cross stitch on linen and so you have to adjust your tension there?
I think so.
It's critical.
Yeah, it is. And I was doing on Royal Garden, I was using the Kreinek and I was doing some sort of woven braid. And at one point I let go of my tension just a little bit and the Kreinek all just like the whole stitch, like three or four stitches that I put in, they all just like released.
Oh.
And it was like, oh.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So And when I didn't pull enough tension on, I would look at one of the threads and I'd be like, I thought I kept tension on that. I must not have. And I'd have to go through and find that, pull that thread harder and go and, you know, monkey around with it. And yet when I moved to Anya's Day, you don't want to put that much tension on it. No. I'm stitching in hand in a hoop, not in hand, in a hoop. And so I have to be careful. Because I must have been thinking about something and I noticed I was pulling a hole in my linen. I was like, oh, I got to go fix that. Because it was obvious. It was like, you know, I yanked it or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you have to, I think you always have to keep, when I don't think about it, that's my Kreinek coming back up. That happened. I was like, looked away or did, so I was like, I need to keep tension on this. I have to think about it all the time.
Yeah. For me too. I mean, I'm thinking about it all the time and yeah, it's when the exciting scene in the movie comes and you're still stitching and, you look down and you go, oh geez. Yeah. I got too tight or I got too loose, but and yeah, I think there's a conscious thing that has to happen when you switch ground cloths, like you know from needlepoint canvas, which you can yank on pretty hard, to linen, which if you do that same thing, everything collapses. Like you said, you have a big hole.
And so you have to be careful. It's just, and so I think you can never forget about it. And I think what was interesting about after our talks with Cindy was it made me think more about how my stitches look, especially my cross stitches. I know I'm never going to be a perfect cross stitcher. It's not something, I'm just not as good at it. I don't know what the problem is, but it made me think more. It's like, okay, why is this stitch not laying maybe as well as the one next to it? Okay. What did I just do, you know, from stitch to stitch?
Yeah.
And it made me just listening to her talk and, made me think more about my own stitching, which I thought her talks were excellent, both the appraisal one and when she was talking about judging.
Yeah.
Because it made me think more about how can I improve my own stitching?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's kept saying something about, you know, cross stitchers tend to give a little tug at the end when they pull through. And I thought, she's right. I give a little tug at the end when I pull it. And it just made me much more conscious of that and just trying to improve it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing, because I tend to be too tight. I really have to work hard on cross stitch and linen because I tend to pull too tight. But that's one of the things that I'll do if I end off a thread is I'll take the needle and those last two crosses there, I'll slide the needle underneath that and just ease it back a little bit just to, you know, just to take that tug out, because you'll notice it over time. The holes between stitches will be just a hair bigger. And
And you tend to work, you don't work like I'm working with the hoop in my hand for Anya's day.
Mm-hmm.
And I now remember why I normally don't do that. I mean, I like it because it's portable. I can move it around, you know, it does make it less bulky. And it's easy to put away.
Yeah.
But my stitching is not nearly as good as when I stick it on scroll bars or a stretcher frame, and it's ready to be stitched that way. My stitches are much neater that way. And as much as I like stitching in that hoop in my hand, I'm thinking, okay, next piece that's this big absolutely must be put on on the scroll bars, because it looks better. It's a neater stitch.
Yeah, it is for me. I mean, I have to have whatever device is holding the ground cloth has to be held by something other than my hands. I can't stand it. I mean, even if I have a hoop, I'll put it in a stand just to free up my hands. Because yeah, I feel like I do a better job all the way around stitching two-handed, and I can keep good tension. And because otherwise I always feel like I'm spending as much energy holding onto the thing as I am doing the stitching.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, once you start doing that, then I think the stitching starts to degrade.
Right.
And
I think I know a lot of people, I know someone who was stitching a Hade and they were using a hoop. And I was like, how are you doing that? She goes, you know what? I tried putting it in scroll bars and I didn't like it. I moved it to a hoop and she was, I don't know if she got it finished, but she'd gotten a lot done, a lot done using the hoop.
Yeah.
And I was just, and her stitches are beautiful. They are beautiful.
Yep.
And so I admire people that can do it that way. And I keep on thinking, oh, I wish I, cause it is portable. And it's easy to put away. It goes, that little hoop, my stitching goes in a small project bag.
Right.
Whereas if it were on stretcher bars, becomes a big project.
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah. And I'm with you. People who can hold hoops in hands or literally stitch in hand and have, you know, just beautiful, even stitches, Man, I admire that to no end because I just can't imagine doing it. And they'll sit there and it, you know, they're, to me, the really good ones are no different than knitters who are just sitting there paying attention to the conversation or whatever, and the needles are just flying. And you go, how do you do that? And they get so automatic with it. And people with stitch in hand, you know, you see that and you go, how do you do that? I'd have to be looking all the time. I'd be forever adjusting, trying to get comfortable. I just couldn't stand it. And you know, and of course, that's the beauty of this whole needlework thing in general is there's no aspect of it is just there's only one way to do it. There's a million ways to do everything, all the way down to threading a needle. You know?
Right. Yes. And it gives people the, you know, lots of variety. Maybe you can't stand stitching in a scroll bars, but maybe, and stitching in hand works for you. It's wonderful.
Yep. Yeah. Cause I mean, those people who can haul out a piece out of a bag, sitting in a car, on a train, wherever, just haul it out and start stitching. They don't have to mess with a hoop, getting it all squared up in the hoop, getting it tightened down. Just pick it up and go. I was like, wow. Envious, but I don't want to do it. You know,
it doesn't work for you, but it works for them.
Right. Yeah. Cause even like my banding project, you know, that goes in a hoop and then the hoop goes into a stand. And that's as mobile as I get, you know, one of those fanny stand things, put it under my leg and that's as mobile as I get. But I got something's got to hold that hoop. Otherwise I can't function. So, yeah. Yep. There's no two ways. No two ways. There are no nothing with just one way. Everything has at least two. Yeah.
Right. And, right.
Yeah. Get a group of stitchers in the room and ask them how to thread a needle. Oh, geez.
Yeah. And there's a lot of gizmos out there, too, to help you even. So it's like, oh, my word.
And those people that, I don't know how they do it, but, you know, they don't use a needle thread or anything. And they've got that thread through the needle and they're ready to go in a split second. How? I can't do it. I got to use the needle threader. I always have. And
really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I waste too much time threading a needle. I've tried the different techniques. I just can't get to it. I'm just faster with a needle threader. So I make sure I have two with me at all times. And
see, and I can thread a needle without one.
You're probably one of those. Thread touches needle, it's through the hole, and off we go. Yeah.
Off we go. Yeah.
No can do. Mm-mm. Nope. No, and I probably could if I wanted to work at it, but, you know, I just don't want to spend the time working at it. I just don't.
No, and they invented needle threaders for that reason.
That's right. Yep. No, I used the Dritz one? I forget. But one day I just bought a bunch of them, and it's like guitar picks. You know, I always have two or three within reach at all times and a bunch of them in a box. And I know right where that box is at. And works for me. Yeah. Everybody's got their way. Yep.
Yeah. See, and I would be losing them because I don't use them often enough. And if I needed it, I'd be like, where's that needle threader?
Mine's usually in my mouth.
That's terrible.
Yeah. No, needle or threader, one or the other, usually in my mouth. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Has anyone yelled at you about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've yelled at myself, especially the needle.
Yeah. The needle one is what's scary.
Yeah. Cause there've been more than once where, you know, Marga's asked a question or something, or I've had some reason to open my mouth and the needle falls out and I didn't realize it was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a little 28 sitting there in my lips, you know, and whoa, forgot about that one. Yeah, meanwhile, I'm stitching with another one, you know? Yeah. Yeah. That's not smart, but.
No, yeah. No, that's bad.
Yeah. But that's what I do. So there we have it. All right. Tonight, stitch and chat, stitch hour, and no, we're not going to complain all hour.
No.
We'll have fun. So join us for that. I don't know who we're going to have Sunday. We'll see how it plays out. Got several at play. We'll see. So I don't know who it's going to be. What else we got? Oh, we're going to be at the EGA seminar now coming up the 1st of September. So that'll be fun. So put that on your thing. Be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern time will be the live shows. And then throughout the days, as much as we can post, we'll post other videos. But the live shows will be then. So you can mark that down.
That's going to be so much fun.
Yep. It really is.
I think people really enjoy seeing what happens at a seminar.
Yeah. I'm going to enjoy it. Never been to one. Yep. And then Red Cross Western Wildfire Fund. Red Cross Western Wildfire Fund. I'm sure you can do the Google thing and come up with it in a heartbeat. Contribute to that. And one really good way is Cindy Young at Luhu Stitches. And I'll links for that in the show notes. Her chart, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. Proceeds from that go right to that fund. So buy the chart from Cindy and contribute that way, or contribute directly, or do both, whichever works. Yeah, let's help out the people who are fighting those fires out there and who are dealing with them and have had their fires destroy their lives. So let's do what we can there. I applaud Cindy for putting that together. That's good. All right, we're out. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Have a good day.